Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks be to God. What an amazing operation that is. Okay. Would you please look in your bulletins and pull out your worship elements? To the Thanksgiving table of plenty.
Come, thankful people, come.
To the kitchen where familiar hands prepare with love.
Come, thankful people, come.
To the farm where calloused hands plant and tend.
Come, thankful people, come.
To the rich earth where roots stretch and seeds grow.
Come, thankful people, come.
To this service of worship and praise of the God of creation, come, thankful people, come. Amen.
If you would please stand and turn your hymnals to page 327, we'll sing Crown Him with Many Crowns. Turn to number 882. We'll have our affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
any other children who'd like to come up and sit with us today? We have plenty of candy. We're never short of candy. All right, Anna's going to come up. All right. Now, I'm not going to give a piece of candy to Anna. I think she needs to forego that. You have to be a little bit older. You have to be just a tad older. Okay, I'm going to try and sit down here with you and tell you, or actually, let me get you to tell me about Thanksgiving. Can anybody tell me where it came from? What can you tell me about Thanksgiving, Zachary? Uh-huh, that's right. The Native Americans helped the Pilgrims, didn't they? Because the Pilgrims had come over from England, and they weren't prepared for all the hardships that followed. And so the people that were living here, the Native Americans, helped them out. Isn't that right? And what did they do as a result of that? What did they do after being helped? They had a big feast. They all came together and had a big feast. Now, we know that story pretty well. But did you know how Thanksgiving became a national holiday? That's a different story. Because up until it became a national holiday, everybody used to just celebrate Thanksgiving on their own time. Whenever they, felt it was good for them, they would celebrate Thanksgiving. But then a woman named Mrs. Sarah Hale wrote a letter to Abraham Lincoln. And if you remember your history, you know that Abraham Lincoln was the president during the Civil War, and times were very tough, and people thought it was wrong to give thanks during the Civil War, but she wrote the president and said, what better time than during tough times for us to stop and pause and thank God together for all our blessings, especially even during the times that are hard. And so that's what Abraham Lincoln did. He made it a national holiday that together as a country, whatever we're going through, whatever our lives are like, even when we're in tough times, and we're in pretty tough times, aren't we? We're in pretty tough times as it is. Well, we still want to stop and give thanks to God for all the blessings that we receive. And that's how Thanksgiving got to be a national holiday. I want you to tell me something that you're thankful for. Can you tell me something you're thankful for? What is it, Brad? A bed? Okay, there are people who don't have beds. That's right. What are you thankful for? A house? There's people who don't have houses. Loving family and friends. Loving family and friends. There are people who go without that sometimes. Yes, Zachary. Without an oven, we wouldn't be able to cook our food. I'm thankful for that, too. Let's see. Beth, you want to tell us what you're thankful for? She's thankful for Anna. Beth is thankful for Anna. Yeah. Bradley, did you have something else? Food. We're thankful for food. And we're going to stop after church and have a time of Thanksgiving when we share together in our to stay and share in our dinner together. For Thanksgiving. This is the time when the church gives thanks. And I want us to bow our head now and have a prayer. Thank you for a day of Thanksgiving. Help us to gather together and encourage each other to share your love. Amen. 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 Okay. Take one piece. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetie. Did you find one? Okay, good. Thank you. I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward for the presentation of our tithes and offerings as we worship together today, acknowledging God's goodness. Let us pray. We do praise your holy name today and thank you for all the goodness that you provide for our lives. Every good gift comes from you. And we stop and share with one another all of our thanksgivings. And we praise your holy name and ask that you continue to bless this congregation and the work of its hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
With me now.
Thank you, Rhonda. That was beautiful. That was just simply beautiful. As we approach our time of prayer this morning, I do need to let you know, many of you probably received the one call and know this, but Megan Kadir's mother passed away this week, and that's why she and Annette aren't here this morning. We need to remember Megan, who's lost now at the young age of 21, she's lost both of her parents, and will be living at least temporarily with her grandmother. But please do remember the Kadir family and Annette in your prayers today. I want to start off by saying what I'm thankful for and would like to ask you all to share in our prayer time what you're thankful for. And my thanksgiving is for you all, for you do amazing things in this congregation. The feeding ministry that we have here with our food bank and the people that we serve, that is an amazing thing, and I am grateful to all of you for it. I also am grateful to you for the support that you have lent Imagine No Malaria. The United Methodist Church has collected 90% of its goal to help eradicate malaria across the globe. Their goal was $75 million, and they've raised 90% of that. Amen. But you all have surpassed your goal. We had the goal of $1,000 for this year, and already before the end of the year, we have collected $1,390.13. And so I thank you this morning. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your support. I thank you for your goodness and kindness, and appreciate you to no end, and I want you to know how important you are to me. And not just to me, but as a congregation, we matter. We make a difference by being here to this community. And that's the only thing we need to do, is to let this community know how much of a difference we make by being here. I would like us to enter into a time of prayer. And as I said, if you feel called to do so, to share with us this morning what you are thankful for as we come into the season of Thanksgiving. Will you bow your heads as we pray together?
I'm thankful for my country, my food, and for the women and men who give themselves, making them better.
Amen. Amen. Creator God, we lift up our prayers to you, giving thanks for all you have done from the beginning of creation. We thank you right now in this time for what we have, for needs that are met. We pray to you to guide us in ways of fulfilling the needs of others, that we might be your hands and feet on the earth. We lift up to you our burdens and cares and our unmet needs. We pray that you will call us to live in ways that are fulfilling and sustaining of others around our globe and all creation. We thank you for all the gifts you have given us, gifts of love, friendship, and family, and help us to share these gifts to those who are without. In the name of the Christ who sets the table before us in the meal of remembrance and calls us into new life, we pray as he taught by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and turn to page 361 in your hymnals.
Thank you.
Our scripture comes from the book of John this morning, chapter 18, verses 33 through 37. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this time I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This is the living word of God for the people of God.
In his book called The Canadians, Andrew Malcolm writes about a woman named Cecile Bouchard. She is, quote, "a Canadian who visits the United States several dozen times a day. When she goes to the refrigerator or to the back door or to make tea, for instance. To read and sleep, she stays in Canada. And she eats there, too, as she was at the north end of her kitchen table." Mrs. Bouchard's home is in Quebec and Maine at the same time. This is because her house was already there in 1842 when diplomats sat down in London to create the official boundary line. So a citizen of one country who spends most of her time in another country, all the while staying in the same place. Does that feel familiar to you at all? It should. We, as Christians, are also citizens of two worlds, two kingdoms. Most of our life is lived in the urgent now of eating and sleeping and working and playing. Most of our thinking is governed by the culture in which we live. Most of our opinions about most things are shaped by being citizens of and participants in what we call the secular world around us. We live in the world as it is. But to be a person of faith is to perceive another reality besides the one that is easily and readily apparent. To be a person of faith is to live in two worlds at the same time. It is to perceive the reality everyone else sees, but also to see a reality that can only be seen with the eyes of faith. In our gospel lesson that we heard Robin share with us, these two worlds collide in the person of Pontius Pilate. At the trial of Jesus, we find Pilate, who is a thoroughly secular pragmatist, deciding what to do based on hard, cold, real calculation. And we find Jesus no less aware of the stark reality of his situation and the cross that stands before him, but also aware of another reality, another kingdom to which he belongs. Pilate, as we heard, is both amused and annoyed by the whole thing. He can't figure out why this man is standing before him, accused of all things of being king of the Jews. This guy, he looks at him, this backwoods Bible thumper is the king of the Jews. After staring at him and his accusers a while, Pilate says, okay, what have you done? You must have done something to anger all these people. Well, this doesn't really help because he can't really understand Jesus' answers. Oh, he understands the words, of course, but he can't decipher the meaning. So are you a king or not? He says. What are you talking about? Your kingdom is not of this world. The problem is, Pilate and the social and political leaders of Judea and most of the people who had been following Jesus and listening to him preach were aware of only one world, and Jesus was living in two. My kingdom is not of this world, he says. And in that moment, he is like Mrs. Bouchard looking across her kitchen table to the other country where her refrigerator sits. We are called, you and I, to live each day in two worlds, two realities, two kingdoms. We cannot and should not permanently retreat from the real world, which surrounds us with its pain and its suffering, its hunger and disease, its wars and violence of all descriptions, all around us. We are called of God to follow Christ and put ourselves into the midst of the world's needs. And that's why we do things like have a food bank. That's why we do things like imagine no malaria. We are called of God to struggle with the world we see all around us, to be active participants in making this world a better place for everyone. We are called to plunge into the secular now, to dive into the messiness that is the world. We are called to get into it up to our necks. But we are also called to look beyond the obvious to the really real, to look past the daily, to see the eternal, to look within the moment to see the mystery, to stare into the face of the truly human and to perceive there the image of the truly divine. For we live in two worlds at the same time, and the trick is not to become so enamored of the one that we lose sight of the other. With Christ the King as our guide, we are called to see the hand of God moving in our midst, holding us up with the divine love, pointing and gently nudging us in the right direction when we lose our way, holding us back from danger and harm, filling the ordinary with mystery and the mysterious with meaning, that we, like Daniel and the psalmist and John and Jesus himself, we will always be able to hold on to the faith in the already, but not yet, divine world of which Christ is the one and only King. Amen and amen.
If you please stand and turn in your hymnals to page 384, we'll sing Love's Divine, All Love's Excelling. verse 4.
Just reminded me that there's a saying out there, and I think it goes something like this, that we should not be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. Something like that.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's a problem lots of Christians have.
Yeah. At any rate, we are going to be thankful today for the great mercies of God and the good gift of God for God's people. And, of course, we want to remember, because we are a part of the world, that there are those who are going without today. And so that should never be far from our hearts and thoughts, the people in this world who don't have enough to eat. And that's why we are called to be in the mess of the world. We are called to be God's love and light and salt to the earth. I'm going to pray a blessing for our dinner, but I want to remind you that no one goes into the kitchen till the lady tells us we can. They're in charge in there. I don't try to mess with that. If you are serving somebody who needs assistance or you need assistance yourself, you can go in front of the line and get yourself served first, and then we will partake of a bounteous feast. Let us pray. For this feast, we praise you and thank you. Your goodness is overwhelming to us. Every single day of our lives, we are here only because of your goodness. We pray your blessing upon us, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that this food nourish our bodies and us to your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go in peace.
Thank you.